Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, and everybody got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest from larderay.wordpress.com is, coincidentally enough, Lada Ray, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinnie. Nice could to be here.
let us know a little bit of background about who you are and what you do.
I am originally from Russia. I have been in the U.S. for about 18 years, and I have been a translator at some point, including a gig in Cuba, and met Fidel Castro there on a couple of occasions. Then I worked as a financial consultant here in the U.S. for Citigroup, for AIG, infamous companies, then decided to finally do what I really wanted to do. Went to Asia, studied feng shui and various spiritual and metaphysical matters, and then I decided to write, and now I write full time. So I wrote several books. It's currently I'm writing fiction, but I also have a lot of designs, and I'm writing nonfiction as well. My fiction is mystery thrillers and fantasy thrillers. The latest book is The Earthshifter. The Earthshifter is a fantasy thriller which deals with world conspiracies and various spy, CIA, KGB, psychic spies, primarily, as well as fantasy, underworld, different realms of existence, earth keepers, and the comet of karma, which incidentally, recently, we had an incident in Russia, which is actually described in the book. Very similar situation as described in The Earthshifter. And another book that deals with conspiracy front and center is Gold Train, which is accidental spy Russia adventure. And that's about an American journalist turned spy extraordinaire who goes to Russia to investigate an old mystery of the missing gold of the Russian Empire. And instead, she lands smack in the middle of a new conspiracy to take over the country and change the balance of power in the world. So these are just two of the books. And of course, I plan on writing books about my predictions. I made a lot of predictions in the past, notably predictions. In 2012, I predicted all the major elections. I called them Obama, Putin and Russia, and also the French elections as well, which actually nobody believed that Sarkozy would lose it. I predicted he would lose it, and here it is. So I intend to write a book of predictions as well, when the time allows me to do so.
Okay. Well, how exactly do you come up with these predictions? Are you, you know, calculating, or are you just imagining and making it up off the top of your head?
Yes, there is a method to this madness. Actually, it's a combination of things. I worked as a financial consultant, and I know a lot about geopolitics. Also, I lived in about 26 countries, or visited a number of countries as well. And so I know a lot about what is going on, what was going on in the world. I also have a system that comes from, which I constructed myself, as a matter of fact, but it originates from the ancient Chinese system of long cycles, which has its basis in feng shui. It's a complicated system. It's a system that nobody knows nowadays, but which I learned from the Asian masters of feng shui. And all of that, in combination with my own intuition, allows me to predict things. I predicted I'm not the only one, but for my clients, I predicted and asked them to get out of real estate before it collapses in the U.S. And those who did actually cashed in quite nicely, for example. That's the system.
Okay, fair enough. And what made you decide to change from these financial trader ideas and things like that into writing? What motivated you to do that?
At one point, I came back to my senses, let's put it this way. What was going on Wall Street was just horrendous. I worked I started working there in the late 90s when the market was going up. There was irrational exuberance, as we all know, going on. And it was all very nice until I discovered the shady dealings and what really was going on behind the scenes. Lots of things were done. What you hear in the media today, in the alternative media primarily, all these derivatives, how clients are swindled, literally. And I worked for major wirehouses. Salomon Smith Barney is a major wirehouse. And they really don't, they are so strict, seemingly, about compliance with all the rules and regulations. And yet they would sell their research to clients, and then they would this research would be something that is convenient to their biggest clients, who behind the scenes they actually work for, and they get the fee for working for large IPOs, for example, major companies, and then they rate them as buys. So their clients, my clients, think that that's a good deal. They buy it, and then the stock goes down, for example. It happened on numerous occasions. Then a lot of things were actually fixed in such a way. And that was in the early days of when the game was fixed. By the early 2000s, I already knew that this was not the place to be for me. Forgive me this, the high wording of this, but it's kind of needed to save my soul, needed to kind of, I could not sacrifice my soul anymore to all this. So I started studying spirituality, different esoteric disciplines. And when in 2003, U.S. invaded Iraq, I think everything clicked into place for me, just literally everything. That was the turn. I was not interested in politics or geopolitics or predictions at all before that. I had absolutely zero interest. And then I knew that they would invade Iraq. It was just clear to me at some point, starting in 2002.
What did the huge did the huge quantity of George W. Bush and all the administration officials saying we're going to war in Iraq have something to do with that prediction?
Yeah. Well, once I remember I was sitting in a cafe having lunch during my break. I still worked at Smith Barney at the time. So the cafe was full. It was lunch hour, it was full house. And the TV was on. And the TV was broadcasting how the UN is not authorizing intervention in Iraq. So there is a group of several men sitting there and eating their lunch. And one of those men says aloud for everybody to hear, "Oh, just let our boys go there and do their job. Why are they listening to this, blah, 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 UN? What does it matter what others think?" And that was, I absolutely knew that was it. And of course, sure enough, it happens. And I think a lot of people started waking up at that point and really looking at things that were going on in the world, how everything was changing. How everything was changing in the U.S. primarily. At that point, everybody started looking, people who were never interested in politics. Oh, incidentally, I also predicted, my friends almost killed me at that point. I predicted the re-election of George Bush in 2004, to my dismay. And my friends were not happy with that prediction, but that was the truth. So
yeah. Yeah. My friends weren't happy when I predicted the re-election of John Key in the 2012 elections, and they couldn't believe it. It was like, "Vinny, how could you say that? How could you say that? Look at it! Look at how much everybody hates him." And I say, "Okay, he was sent here to destroy the country. It's not destroyed yet. Hence, he's going to get re-elected."
That's interesting. You should say that. You know. I know it's not, perhaps to some it's not entirely politically correct, but I completely remove myself from these personal feelings here. I'm just constating a fact here. You know, Obama in Russia is referred to as Black Gorbachev. Well, obviously because he's black, but, you know, the reference here is to a similar role that he's playing. And do you know how the Russians think about Gorbachev, what role they feel he played in the country? Well, he's loved in the West, in the U.S. and all that. You know, I personally respect the man, so I don't side with those who hate him. A lot of Russians absolutely hate him. They feel, and now you will probably see an interesting similarity. I'm sure a lot of American listeners will see that similarity. They feel Gorbachev destroyed a great country that was USSR. And right now, I see a lot of this sentiment in the U.S. when people feel that there is this destruction of a great country. I'm not saying that USSR and USA are the same kind of country. In some ways, they are.
yes, they are. It's the USSA and the USSR.
Exactly. We do have that abbreviation going on, yes. Well, two empires, and basically USA is following in the footsteps. Do you know the book called The Reinventing Collapse by Dmitry Orlov? Oh, a great book, by the way. I highly recommend it to anybody who wants to study how the... from a layman's perspective and also from somewhat of an outsider perspective, Orlov is an author who actually is, he's an engineer, software engineer, I believe, in Boston. He immigrated from Russia in the 1990s, actually probably around the same time that I left the country. Probably, I don't know what age he is, but he might be around my age, maybe like 10 years old or something like that. Anyway, he wrote this book based on his trips, many trips back, and also his knowledge and experience, and also interviewing other people. It's a fascinating read. I do not agree with everything there, although I would easily give that book 5 stars. And I highly recommend it to anybody. Reinventing Collapse by Dmitry Orlov. Well, he believes that he actually, we all thought that USA would already start like economically collapsing at this point. It's not happening yet. It's a fascinating study how different it is. To me, and this is my prediction, USSR and USA are approaching collapse from the opposite directions. It's like a mirror image, in other words. In the USSR, what did we have? Well, most would think not enough political freedom, not enough economical freedom. Seemingly, there was plenty of that in the USA, say in the 1980s, 1970s, even 1990s. So while in the USSR, all these freedoms, little by little, started enlarging, started growing, more and more economical and political freedom emerges, and the country is becoming more and more democratic. Same with prosperity, by the way. Prosperity is growing. In the USA, it is actually diminishing. More of a police state. Fewer economical freedoms. More and more people that are disenfranchised. And also, of course, prosperity is diminishing. These are some of the things that are happening currently in the USA. And another thing, while it was very...
If I may. Let me get this straight. The reason for the collapse of the USSR is people actually started to have some kind of benefit out of the country. And the reason for the collapse of the USSA is that people are losing all benefits of being part of that country.
Well, yes, in some ways, yes. But basically, we have to assume that all empires collapse one way or the other. You get too big for your own good, you collapse. It's when? That's a different story. You know, I could say that perhaps, to me, 2015 should be the beginning when we should see serious collapse.
Okay.
Starting. You know?
All right. Predictions from Lada Ray, ladies and gentlemen. 2015, you're all fracked, okay? Get your storable food and your Patriot Snuggies with the 11 years of ammunition in the pockets, and we'll be right back after this break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Just got a little bit of an announcement here. I'm down to my last $50 because PayPal, in their infinite wisdom, where everybody subscribes and donates and that kind of thing, basically the entire reason why the show even goes on air every day is because of the listeners' very, very generous donations and the subscriptions, which are recurring. So every week I've got new money coming into the PayPal account. It's how I survive. And just barely at that. So what PayPal has done is they have blocked my account. And they will not process any more transactions to little old Vinnie Eastwood. They're citing that I must prove that I'm a charitable organization and all current funds in the account will be held for 180 days. Then I will be able to withdraw them. And the decision is final. Thank you, PayPal. Frackers. Yeah. So if you do want to donate to the show or if you currently have a PayPal subscription, you need to cancel that and go to the homepage, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. There is a new donate button for Paymate. It's an Australian-based PayPal alternative to make just one-off donations. And for any other kinds of automatic payments, please change them to the KiwiBank account number, which is on the homepage of the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. So we've got those two options available for you there. And of course, reiterate, I'm down to my last $50 because there was a couple of hundred in the PayPal account when they cancelled it. So I guess I'll claim that in about 180 days, but it doesn't help me in the immediate. So if you want to donate between $1 and $100 a month, you know, you choose. We'll give you commercial-free archives. Just send me an email and tell me that you've donated or add a thing, because that's the other thing. That's the problem with donating into the bank account, is that you can't put heaps of details on there. Like, you can't put your email address. You can't do anything. I don't even know who the hell's putting money into that account. So if you could remind me by sending me an email, there's a contact form on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com if you're doing that. Yeah, really stressful situation. Extremely stressful situation. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. When some scumbag, you know, like, you work for 3 freaking years doing a radio show like this, of basically the sole support of listeners functioning through PayPal, and then they take it away from you and then lock all your cash away in there as well, and knowing that there's virtually no viable alternative that exists on the web. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So sorry, Vinny, to hear that. I just went on your show. I went on your website. I mean, your show's website, I meant to say. And I saw that, and I was going to actually start a donation program. And I saw that everything has ceased with that PayPal situation. You know, PayPal is very well known in the U.S. for seizing accounts and for freezing them. It is speaking of conspiracies, it is that kind of organization. I've known this for years. Unfortunately, they do that. I don't know if it's done deliberately or somebody actually has some interest in freezing your account. This has been also known to happen. You know, the accounts are frozen for a specific reason. You know, I don't know what might have happened in this case, but it's all very, very strange. And I'm really sorry to hear that. And I encourage everybody to donate to Vinny's show, because it's really wonderful. You know, I'm going to go to this bank and I'm going to donate, you know, that information you provided. I'm going to do that as soon as possible.
Well, thank you, Lada. That really helps. Yeah. Well, I see the whole reason why people donate to me. I don't know why you people donate, but thank you.
Well, you need it to get this program going. You need it, right? Because how else are you going to make money?
Well, I think it's like we need each other. Like, I need the listeners to give me something so that I can just continue to provide the radio show. And a lot of the listeners need the radio show because it's the only way to actually laugh whilst talking about all of this horrible, 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 no good, very bad, terrible information that scares the living bejesus out of you.
Yeah, it's a party during a plague.
Yeah, I by the way, you know, this the whole point of this show is actually to make the guests laugh and stuff like that. You know, Lada's written heaps of books, she's gone through heaps of stuff, made awesome predictions and what have you, and then here she is having a wee bit of a cackle and a chuckle of some kind on the webcam. So when we do the archives, and you'll notice this if you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com /2013.html. You'll scroll down the archives and you'll see all of these people, all of these guests that go on the webcam, snapped exactly when they're at their most cacklicious. That's, that's a mixture of cackling and delicious. And so, it creates a nice vibes and stuff. I'm all looking about good vibes. PayPal apparently isn't, not anymore.
Well, you should try, Bitcoin. You know what that is? Bitcoin.
I've heard of it, never used it.
Very interesting thing. Well, there are different opinions about Bitcoin, but so far, It's currency-wise, electronic currency-wise, it's the only alternative, perhaps, to the U.S. dollar or, you know, any other international currency. It's removed from any government control. People who are interested could go explore it on bitcoin.com. And there are several sites that deal with Bitcoin. It's an interesting concept. So far, Bitcoin has been going up like crazy against the dollar. There are several exchanges. You can purchase it free. Some people actually, especially international businesses, pay their salaries in Bitcoins. I mean, the jury's still out on that. I'm not promoting it or anything. I'm not telling everybody to go and buy it. But it's an interesting something. Alternative.
Yeah. Well, see, just in the meantime, all I want is the same abilities that PayPal gave me, because it's not just all the subscriptions and donations and things that are now fracked. It's actually every single DVD that's for sale off the website, all the blue shields and everything that are for sale off the website. Okay. I now have to completely rebuild it. And I've had to send messages out to all of my subscribers and soon to send them out to all of my donators, telling them that they can't do that anymore and this kind of thing. I've got to, and of course, when you ask people to reset a something that's really easy, like PayPal, it's just like, yeah, click credit card, boom, done, $5 a month, it's coming in, it's no worries. When you ask them to do it into a bank account, there's a whole bunch of other different annoying, complicated things that need to happen. And I predict that I'll probably lose about half of my income that I've built up over the 3 years because of this one incident of PayPal, you know.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Sorry,
and I can't find a viable alternative. That's what I've discovered, actually, just in my searchings over the last 24, 36 hours. There is no real viable alternative to PayPal with the functionality and all of that kind of stuff. They've got you in a vice.
Yes. It's a monopoly of sorts. Well, you can start a merchant account, but that costs some money to set up. You also have to pay them every month, and you have to buy or lease certain equipment from them and all that for credit card processing, whatnot. Okay, so it depends on what you do, but it's not a cheap proposition to start a merchant account. Some people do that, but you better have enough volume. And also, at first, you actually lose money on that until your volume justifies such an account. That's why there is no alternative to PayPal, which has become this too big to fail monopoly. And they can. That's why they can actually do things like this. And that's outrageous. That's terrible. But there's no alternative. And also, who knows what goes on behind the scenes? Why those accounts are being frozen? That's also very interesting. Nobody knows that for sure. could be a whole new thing that. Undercurrents there. Maybe somebody complained. Maybe somebody. Who knows?
We did have one of my listeners back in the day. He's not a listener anymore. He thinks I'm into the occult, which I'm not. he called up PayPal one time trying to figure out why they wouldn't accept his credit card payments and stuff like that. And you know how with big companies you keep getting the runaround and the runaround and the runaround. Well, he was getting the runaround big time, and eventually he got to listen to a manager speak, and he said, "Do you know who Vinny Eastwood is? Do you know what he does? You know, just kind of like, whoa, okay, there's something going on here." And another time, I think, and this is just what happened recently. Another Patriot Radio show host has kind of started a war with me, and he plays really, 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 really dirty. Might have been him sending in a complaint or something. And also, just recently, I was doing an appeal to get some money donated to pay for Sarah's new car, my girlfriend, so she can, you know, continue to work. Because if she doesn't work, then we're both screwed, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And two really sizable $500 donations came in and we made a withdrawal of like $1,300 from the account. And that might have set off alarms at PayPal or something because it was over a grand. Who knows what it was? Point is, unless I provide documentation that I'm a charitable organization that's registered company, business, or et cetera, or something, they were just going to close my account and the decision's final. So, yeah. I don't know
really
what happened.
Sorry to hear about that. And I really do hope you resolve it quickly. Or, you know, my advice would actually be to find an alternative. To be honest with you, in order to ensure the continuity as a financial consultant, I would advise you to look for alternatives and probably with a backup as well, where you can count on people better than PayPal, because complaints are many.
Yeah. So, well, like I said, the alternative already exists. There's the bank account, but of course, because of its functionality difficulties, it's a bit of a pain in the ass.
It's difficult.
And the other alternative that I've already got up on the website is a donate button for Paymate, which is pretty straightforward. You can donate through that, and that goes directly into my bank account.
Yeah.
And currently looking for a third backup system as well, because Paymate doesn't have an automatic thing like a subscription. Like the cool thing about what PayPal did for me is like people could subscribe for $1 a month, $2, $3, you know, whatever, however much a month, and it automatically kept going in. And Paymate doesn't do that, so I need something that has that function, that specific function, that allows people to donate regularly, because that was actually really the bread and butter. Oh, excuse me. It just means that, well, basically, I don't have to keep chasing up and asking people for donations every single day of the week. They just automatically come in and I can just keep doing the work, you know, focus on it. Because when you're stressed about money and things like that, it just totally throws you off everything that you're doing. Financial stress will literally kill an operation more than actual financial destruction will.
Yes. That's true. It's true for humans. It's true for countries, for businesses, for anything. Yeah, I know. I listened to this interview of yours where you discussed how you were starting out, that for 6 years you lived on bare minimum and couldn't even buy a cup of coffee at some points in your life, right? And because it was so important for you to get this show going and to alert people to what's going on in the world. I mean, I can totally relate to that because, you know, just abandoning, in my case, a very lucrative job, a very lucrative position to actually live my destiny, so to speak, you know, if you will, live my calling, perhaps, and do what I felt was right, and to express myself, to actually say what I want to say, to tell the world what I feel the world should know and should hear. It's a big risk. For most people, this is something that they can't even fathom to start doing in their lives, or to even, like, think about it. That's like, oh, what are you kidding me? What about my insurance? What about my, you know, 2 weeks of fabulous vacation here and there, another 2 weeks over there? What about all the things that I'm used to? What about my luxury car? Et cetera, et cetera, right? I totally understand, and I'm just wishing you the best of luck with resolving all this so that you find a better footing with financial services.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, I think what happens is if you're doing the right thing, exactly what you need will come to you precisely when you need it, not before, but exactly at the right time. So, you know, but by the time I come to pay my rent next week, it'll cost me $250, and I can guarantee you through some force of heaven or earth or listeners, there will be exactly the $250 in there to pay my rent with. I can guarantee you that. At least I hope so, because if I'm wrong, I'm screwed. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyedgewoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about commercial slavery. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest, a predictor and author and a website entrepreneur. I'm not sure if that's an appropriate title. LardaRay.wordpress.com. Welcome back. And we've only got about 10 minutes left in this segment. What would you like to talk about?
Whatever you would like to talk about. We can.
No. It's my show. Whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, sure. I could say a few words about my books, if you like.
Go ahead.
The books that that I've been talking about earlier, The Earthshifter, it's a fantasy thriller. The ebook is currently available everywhere, pretty much. Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, Kobo, you name it. Smashwords, Sony, Apple. The action is primarily happening in the present day Russia and United States. But it starts in 1908 when a comet of karma is about to crash into the earth. The keepers of the earth, well, remember, it's a fantasy after all. The keepers of the earth, there is this kind of institution that manages the whole existence of the planet, so to speak, from the nebulous realm between heaven and earth. The keepers are discussing whether whether mankind is actually worth saving or not. Remember, 1908, that's several years before the start of the First World War, so they are predicting that the 20th century will be very destructive with two world wars and the weapons of mass destruction, so they're not sure if they should actually save mankind, which chooses to use technology in this destructive fashion. The comet is about to crash. And then we fast forward to the present day, Siberia, Lake Baikal in Siberia, where we meet the protagonist, Sasha, and Siberian shaman, whose name is Tengiz. And from there, everything else evolves. Sasha is supposed to find a counterpart who could be anywhere in the world, who, together with whom, she becomes the key of destiny, which propels the key of destiny, propels mankind to the next level of development. Except if they don't connect, or if the key is corrupted, then the comet comes again. And this time, Earthkeepers will not interfere. So we deal with a secret society akin to the New World Order, you know, Bilderberg Group is modeled after the Bilderberg Group, who want to take over the world. And they enlisted the help of a rogue, I should say, CIA, high-level CIA official and a Russian oligarch who are supposed to help them in their taking over of the entire planet. Except there are forces, of course, there who are interested and who are willing to sacrifice themselves to not let that happen. So the whole book revolves around that. There are also other forces, like the underworld forces as well. And all this is wrapped together in this kind of, like, you know, very realistic, you know, it's based on real world events. So a lot of things feel very real, even though it's a fantasy. So it's that's the Earthshifter. I could also mention Gold Train, which is a conspiracy set in Russia and also has some history, starts in 1918, during the revolution and the civil war in Russia, when the entire gold reserve, this is a historic fact, entire gold reserve of the Russian Empire, which was first or second largest precious metal reserve of its day, gets hijacked and stolen when it's being transported to a safe location. And then it disappears. It just vanishes. And then fast forward to the present day, when Jade Snow, the journalist turned spy extraordinaire, she travels to Russia, trying to investigate the mystery of the gold train. Instead, she lands in the midst of a conspiracy, global conspiracy, which is supposed to change the direction of Russia and also influence events in the world. So it's a very interesting read. There is also romantic suspense going on, which spices it up significantly. Gold Train last year, 2012, when it first came out, was bestseller on Amazon and on Kindle for several weeks. Was hitting different bestseller lists.
Well, you've definitely got some. It's definitely got some appeal there for anybody who likes to consume a good novel. And I also wonder just exactly how much of their own lives do authors base the characters on their books? You know, how which part of me is this character? That kind of thing.
Yes, it's a very interesting question. Good question. Usually, there is some. Authors love to put something from themselves, sometimes as an inside joke, sometimes as a wink to a character, or just like, you know, just for all that to be more personal, more real. And yeah, there are parts of me, perhaps, in Jade Snow. She's a jet setter, globetrotter. She's very well traveled. She speaks several different languages, and she's a very spunky soul, so to speak. Loves to joke, laugh, has a lot of wit, and there's some of me. Although she's a redhead, that obviously that's not me. That part is not me. She loves to dress up, attend balls, that sort of thing. So that there are some interesting similarities.
Well, you know, you take what you know and you write something out of it. I mean, that's what my English teacher Helen Aldridge taught me at Waiheke High School, because I was always writing stuff about when I was a boy about military and blah blah blah. You know, I was obsessed with it. I thought it was really cool. Watched a lot of action movies as a boy. And then I was told this, and my writing just totally changed from action-packed and all of that kind of stuff to just sort of broken characters who had a lot of problems and that kind of stuff. You know, a lot like myself. Maybe I'll write a story about a broken character with PayPal problems.
You obviously, yes, you've got to write about what you know, and it comes across, it's interesting what I know. when you read my books, it's very interesting to see, oh my gosh. As one reviewer pointed out, says, how is it possible that one person knows all this? It's just not possible. I don't know. I guess it's possible if I wrote it already, right? Book I wrote in my head, I was about 10, maybe 12 years old, and it was about a globe-trotting teenager, my age, who was riding planes, very interesting contraptions of all sorts that didn't even exist, riding and solving problems around the world, saving the world, one country at a time. So I guess Jade Snow is the adult version of that teenager, globe-trotting. That's a gold train, and the Earthshifter is similar. I love to save the world, as you see. That's the major theme.
Maybe that's something that was instilled in us from kids. Like the bad guy was always the one to lose in the end, and the good guy was the one who. Because let's face it, you know, you don't want to see the world end, and nobody wants the bad guy to win, really. It's just kind of changed of late. I mean, I see so many end-of-the-world movies where the bad guys are almost, you're supposed to look up to them and feel sorry for them or something like that.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It's interesting that you should mention this. This is a something that is unfortunately part of this decade. We are in a very interesting decade when zombies and vampires took over both the screen and the publishing industry. That's all you see. Well, I mean, that's not to say you shouldn't have dark characters, of course. You know, my characters go through terrible trials and tribulations. They have to overcome terrible difficulties. I do have Underworld, but incidentally, and a very interesting Underworld-style character in The Earthshifter. She really steals the show, some people feel. When it becomes overpowering, that's actually very, very difficult. We were discussing this recently. We are going through a publishing revolution of sorts. It's a massive publishing revolution. E-books are overtaking published books. Although I still love the feel of the real book in my hands. Oh, incidentally, I don't know, I didn't show it. That's the Gold Train. And The Earthshifter in paperback form is coming out by April 1st. It should be on Amazon. You can also purchase it on my website, ladaray.com. You can purchase it there it will be autographed.
Oh, wow. That's very nice. All right. Well, Lada, thank you very much for sharing some of your valuable time with us. Quite light, nice and lovely. Thank you. I've really enjoyed this.
Very nice to talk to you, Vinny. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have yourself a very nice day, evening, or whatever the hell the time zone may be in your part of the world at the moment.
Yeah, it would be about 7 p.m.
All right. That's not that bad. Okay. Well, okay. Thank you very much, and thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back next hour, hopefully, with more stories of intrigue and scumbaggery from another guest named Sean Horos, I think. Should be interesting. We'll be right back.
Airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation, too bad. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.